Which condiment cuts the mustard?
And which one just can't catch up?
They're puns, you schmuck!
This is a hot dog is a sandwich. Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What? Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Scherer.
And I'm your host, Nicole Inaiti.
And I owe everybody an apology because I collectively called you schmucks for, in theory, not understanding the very simple puns that are made even more obvious by our costumes. Nicole, who are you wearing?
I am wearing Yellow Mustard by Yellow Mustard. Let me just do a little.
Now research. You got? Did you just reach out to Yellow Mustard to do this dress, and they did? Because that's incredible. Because people said.
So
people
I'm
said,
actually
Nicole,
representing the resort collection for 2026.
Oh, okay,
and
now I see.
And you will be seeing the ads in Vogue.
You got in through the agency.
Yes,
okay,
I got
okay,
in through the okay. agency.
That's smart. That's smart.
And who
you gotta
are you?
Go through the agency.
And Josh, who are you wearing tonight?
Well, I'm glad you asked. So I'm wearing
360.
I'm wearing tomato.
Give us a little 360, please.
Okay.
Come on, get up.
I have a lot of room. I'm wearing tomato ketchup by a little German designer called Heinz. Do you know Heinz?
I've heard of them. I don't think they're sponsored, though. It doesn't look like you have any logos on there.
You know, it's actually interesting. This is so uncomfortable.
We can take it off if you want.
Heinz, I'm keeping mine on. Heinz was actually the first to take the word ketchup out. The word tomato out of ketchup.
Oh, so
when marketing their ketchup, which
Why?
Is just a funny little segue.
Why do you think that is?
Because so for instance, like when we see the word tomato ketchup, we think of it as being almost like an ATM machine or VIN number,
right?
As being
That's
redundant.
True. That's true.
Because ketchup is tomatoes, but ketchup wasn't always tomatoes.
Well,
and
okay,
so Heinz was the first one that like tomato ketchup. God, I think this was in the 1870s.
Mm-hmm.
Became so ubiquitous at the time that they were like, guys, we don't even have to put tomato on the bottle anymore. They know what the deal is. They know who we are. This ain't tomato ketchup. This is just ketchup, baby. And also, though, you've seen CATSUP?
Of course. Yes. I have talked about catsup versus
catsup.
Ketchup.
So that was the Americanization of, in Britain, they were spelling it K-E-T-C-H-U-P.
Uh-huh.
And then in America, they were like, okay, we're gonna be different, so we're going to spell it catsup.
Mm-hmm.
And then Heinz is like, we're just going to go back to the British thing, and we're going to drop the tomato. And so Heinz really modernized ketchup. So anyways, this is still my homage to the designer Heinz. Except I got this in the garment district in Los Angeles.
In Santee Alley?
In Santee Alley, next to all the piñatas of like the green Spider-Man that's
right,
unlicensed,
right, right,
you know
right.
what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
So the reason why we're doing this today is because we're going to end the age-old debate of which is better, ketchup or mustard.
And people debate it. They've been debating it for ages.
I know what you're thinking. Why can't both of them exist? They can't. We need to find the better condiment.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I want it to be ketchup. Initially, but then halfway through my research, I said, actually, Josh, can I please be mustard? And he's like, cool, dude, do whatever you want.
I want to say that at no point did I ever want to rep mustard. I have
really?
No affinity towards mustard.
I think I forced your hand whenever
you did,
we were talking
which
about
is the fine. And I'm fascinated by the history of all this. And if we're mm-hmm. being honest, so much of this show over the last 6 years mm-hmm. has been phrased as sort of a debate as a versus.
It's never really.
Do you remember there was a time like 5 years ago when we were
to make sure that the creative is versus.
Or that you and I had distinct positions, and it just never stuck because we don't have
distinct positions.
No, what we're gonna say that mustard wins? So what? Who cares? I'm here to talk about the history and why I love both, but like in my own life,
yeah.
I don't even know if I probably consume more mustard than ketchup, but I love ketchup significantly more than mustard, and I think its historical significance is greater.
So interesting. I find myself leaning towards more mustard the older I've gotten. I think when I was younger, it was all ketchup all the time. And I used to actually despise mustard. I wouldn't even touch mustard with a 10-foot pole. If it was on my food, in my food, I could notice it and I would physically have a like on a reaction.
What kind of mustard?
It.
All of them?
I hated all mustards.
Whoa.
But I don't know. And then I looked something up online that was like your taste buds change every 7 years. And I don't know if that's like true
no
or
way,
not.
Dude.
But like I guess your flavor.
I distrust round numbers. Anytime
someone's not round.
Well, yeah, 7 years.
Isn't seven prime?
Yeah, seven's prime, but I'm saying like so seven years is a round number. It seems very convenient that they would work in multiples of 365 days very evenly. You know what
sure.
I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah, I think it's just a guesstimate of sure. 7 years. Yeah, yeah. But I remember seeing that and I'm like, okay, whatever. And there was this one girl in school that used to just eat mustard packets, like
that's crazy.
Like just for
funsies. We all knew a mustard kid. I knew a kid that used to dip their tater tots in mustard at the cafeteria, and we're all like, that's crazy.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. It was like, oh my god, you're traveling around with little mustard packets. That's wild. So I just didn't understand it. But then the older I got, I started to have an affinity for that like bitter tang and that spiciness that only mustard has. And I started
and really only mustard has it.
And I was searching for that flavor, and I found it in mustard. And It really is a delicious condiment. It's good on just about everything, and also it's a great additive in things. Like in salad dressings, you can put like a squirt of mustard in there, but I don't think you can put a squirt of ketchup
in there.
In your salad dressing?
Thousand
dressings?
Island, Catalina,
Stop.
French dressing, Russian dressing.
Are you putting that on salads all the time?
You know what the messed up thing is
those are
if
dips.
I was not – no, they've been co-opted as dips. These are salad dressings. Like, Thousand Island dressing is a salad dressing.
Yes, it is.
And I love, like, crappy, not crappy, but beautiful old school diners. You can go to, like, Lancers in Burbank, and you can get the chef salad that is taken straight out of a fridge where you don't understand how the iceberg lettuce hasn't frozen with how chilled.
But you love ice cold salads.
I love ice cold salads.
I don't like ice cold salads.
Well, no, I love the idea of somebody just grabbing a pre-made salad out of a fridge, taking off the plastic wrap, and then giving me, I will get Thousand Island dressing as my salad dressing at like a Lancer's or a Bob's Big Boy.
Right, right.
So you can't put ketchup, but I know what you're saying.
Like a vinaigrette.
A French vinaigrette.
Well, I guess me and you are just different. Like you're reaching for Thousand Island, and at this point in my life, I'm reaching for balsamic vinaigrette.
To be clear, I make a lot more. Like I said earlier,
more vinaigrettes.
I probably use more mustard in my house, specifically a Dijon or like a French mustard.
Yes.
Then I do ketchup, but a lot of that is based on, I'm mostly cooking for Julia and myself.
Right.
She hates ketchup.
Like passionately hates
passionately.
It?
And
what about
I
when
actually
you eat schnitzel?
Heard...
When you eat schnitzel, do you have like chicken schnitzel? Do you make chicken schnitzel?
Like,
I always assume that you make
actually,
chicken
schnitzel. Actually, no, I do. I make a lot of chicken cutlet. I wouldn't call
like
it schnitzel.
Okay, chicken cutlet.
And I'm mostly
whatever.
Like baking it. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you are. Okay. Yeah. Are you putting ketchup or mustard on it?
But why are those the options?
What
those are your options?
I mean, yeah.
Ketchup or mustard? No, I'm making like a yogurty chipotle.
Oh, you are?
Thingy thing, or
is there
or,
mustard in the yogurty chipotle?
On at the time, no.
Okay.
No. Basically, it's kind of like a mayonnaise hot sauce, but I cut that with Greek yogurt.
Interesting. Okay.
For health, and then some spices in there. But no. If I'm making a chicken cutlet, I'm mostly putting marinara on it. Like we're mostly doing like
wow,
a chicken
me
parm
and you are so different.
Or I'm putting it in a salad, so there's then some sort of like Caesar-y.
Oh my gosh, me and you are so different. So whenever I make chicken cutlets or chicken schnitzel at home, I always serve it with a side of ketchup. Because it's like a chicken tender. It's like a big old. When you get chicken fingers, what do you dip your chicken fingers in?
I never dip in ketchup, and I've never dipped. This is crazy.
Honey mustard.
Honey mustard is my favorite chicken dip, but also ranch and barbecue.
Barbecue is like
to
tomato
me chicken
with
and
steps.
Chicken and ketchup don't taste right.
Wow.
Chicken and ketchup don't taste right.
Chicken nuggets and ketchup taste
chicken
right?
Chicken nuggets and no ketchup don't taste right.
Stop.
I've never dipped a chicken nugget in ketchup.
Yes, you, okay.
French fries and ketchup, hamburger and ketchup, wonderful.
Chicken and
mustard
ketchup
on hamburger don't taste right to me.
I agree. You want to know why? Because it reminds me of a backyard barbecue burger, and I hate those.
Same. They're never good.
They're never good. They're pucks.
They're puck. Well, I make a backyard barbecue burger.
Then it's awesome.
Good. Then it's awesome. But
not if your Uncle Larry's doing
so
it.
I grew up eating so many bad ones. I do have an Uncle Larry, and his burgers are terrible.
Do you have an Uncle Larry?
I do, yeah.
No way. Mom's side.
Yeah, South African, yeah.
No way.
Yeah, yeah. Actually a very positive influence in my life. Yeah, I really, really love Larry.
But his burgers suck.
Yeah, yeah. Not a cook. Not a cook.
Another point for mustard, if you will. There's like 25 different kinds of mustard. There's only one ketchup.
I know, and there, but I would say that is actually a benefit to ketchup. That is a boon to ketchup's argument. Malcolm Gladwell actually wrote about this. He wrote about that idea of there being so many different types of mustard and only one type of ketchup. And we'll go back through the history of ketchup because there were many, many types of ketchup before this.
Before this.
And still, you can say, you got your curry ketchup, your spicy ketchup.
Oh, banana ketchup. No, just, no.
Talking about
the current zeitgeist.
Chicken and banana ketchup tastes right to me because there ain't no tomato in it.
I do love banana ketchup, but that's neither here nor there. We're not talking about
the reason there's only one type of ketchup is because it's perfect. And when I say perfect, I don't mean...
It's not perfect.
I don't mean from I don't know, like a godlike perspective, but I mean it's perfect in the sense that it balances all five primary flavors. It really does, right? You have the bitterness of tomatoes. Tomatoes are a nightshade. They're bitter. You have the acid from the vinegar. You have the sweet from the sugar. You have a heck of amount of salt. And then you have umami from especially the glutamic acid that comes out when you cook tomatoes down. Tomatoes are already rife with glutamic acid.
Right.
But you cook that down. You concentrate it. It has all of the flavors in them. I think mustard has one very unique flavor. And God, I can't remember the chemical composition of it. But there is... Somebody, a commenter just reached out about it because I was talking about the difference between capsaicin spice and like mustard spice.
Two very different spices.
They're entirely different chemical reactions.
It's like a nasal, it's like that. Didn't Arielle Johnson talk about it when she was here?
She did, yeah.
It's that nasally, like wipe off of your total palate.
Yeah, what do they call it? Like secondary olfactory?
Capsaicin heat is different. It hits you, I believe, in your tongue and like in
capsaicin,
your mouth.
Capsaicin, yeah, only it reacts to the tongue like
there's
that.
There's like a vaporizing ability that mustard and wasabi has.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. Horseradish as well.
Sure.
But like that's a very fun, unique thing that mustard brings. But ketchup, to me, it balances all five primary tastes.
I find ketchup to be the great equalizer.
In what way?
It just allows for everything to be ketchuped. You know what I mean?
You think ketchup turns everything into ketchup?
I think
ketchup. Whereas mustard accents.
Yes, I find mustard to be an accent, a little bit of an interesting addition to your meal, instead of where ketchup is just this blanket of flavor where it doesn't allow for anything else to shine. If I were to dip a tater tot into ketchup, a little coin of a hot dog, the flavor would really be masked by that tomato.
Yeah.
But if I were to dip it in mustard, depends what kind of mustard, I think the flavor would be accentuated. Like if you were to dip it in the potato-y, if you were to dip a potato-y like little nugget into the mustard, I think it would accent those delicious like fried bits and the salt in the potatoes and that soft center. But if I were to dip ketchup into it, it would just mask it with this sugary blanket of like acidic weirdness.
I think you might be right about that.
Yeah.
I think you might be right about that. So I want to go back to something you were saying earlier about how you started appreciating mustard more as you've gotten older.
Yes.
And when you were a kid, you appreciated ketchup more and didn't like mustard. When I was a kid, I was one of those weird kids that wanted to grow up so fast. As a child, the childhood trauma that got me to love black coffee from such a young age,
right.
You know, where I was like, I want to be an adult and I want to have an adult palate.
Yeah.
So when I was a kid, I would have said, like, I love horseradishy mustard and hot sauce and things over ketchup. As I've gotten older, I think it's part of, like, reclaiming a little bit of my childhood is to try and figure out what are the tastes that I actually enjoy. But
that you actually enjoyed or you actually enjoy right now?
I think both.
You don't think there's been like a
like what
a
is actually
shift?
Pleasurable to me? But I think there is a shift in your actual palate. But to me, this comes down to so much more like identity as opposed to what's happening on your tongue, right? I always see the poetry instead of the science in a lot of things. So somebody like George Motes, who says, like, ketchup is a child's condiment and putting it on a hamburger ruins it. Sensible. I think back to, like, the hamburgers that I really loved as a kid. There's ketchup in an In-N-Out spread. You know what I mean? There's ketchup on a Whopper.
The burger is also mustard fried at In-N-Out. You have to ask for it, but
I don't even like it. I don't care for the mustard fried. I've never gotten my burger animal style. I mean, I've ordered it. I just don't need an animal style burger.
We'll talk about that later.
I like the standard.
Literally, later today.
I think they made it normal
style.
But anyways, no, but there's, to me, like the flavor of a Southern California fast food hamburger, the Carl's Jr.'s of it all, you know, the Jack in the Box, like that's like hot ketchup and mayonnaise on it. And I've never really loved mustard. But that said, when you're a kid, you appreciate sweeter tastes more
as
you get older, you more appreciate bitter, mostly because your taste buds sort of dull. At least the way that I understand it. When you're a kid, your tastes are super sensitive.
So instead of changing every 7 years, it dulls, you say?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Fair,
and whether that's
fair,
physiological or even just you're not experiencing as many new flavors.
Smoking all those cigarettes at 12 years old.
Yeah, man. But like, you know, when you're a kid, like the sugar and salt, you're like, it lights up your palate. And then the bitterness of mustard, it repels you,
and that's the shock of adulthood, literally.
Yeah, and then as you're an adult, you're like, I just want to feel something, man. Give me that crazy mustard at Philippe's. come on.
Oh,
now.
My gosh. The mustard. Ooh. Okay, so the mustard at Philippe's.
Oh, Philippe, the original downtown Los Angeles, best restaurant in the world.
Okay, so every time
it's not the best, but it's okay. Like, I mean, it's like up there.
Can I tell
it's
you
one
something?
Of the best things in the world.
So I have told my husband time and time, because, you know, people always ask me like, oh, what's your favorite restaurant? And everybody wants me to say something like, oh, Inaka, like a Citrine or whatever like that. You know what I mean? Like people expect me to say things like that. But when I say Philippe's, people always get so upset by that.
Why, dude?
My husband in particular, he's like, stop saying Philippe's is your favorite restaurant. And I'm like, but it is. It's the restaurant I've been to more times than any other. Every time I go there, I enjoy standing in line. I enjoy ordering there. I enjoy the plates. I enjoy the food. I enjoy the sopping wet sandwich.
Yeah, just so Philippe's invented the French dip sandwich.
Yeah, sorry.
They're in Los Angeles, and they're wonderful.
Josh, why can't I say Philippe's? Philippe's is my favorite restaurant.
You should be able to say it. I think that is a very good.
Thank you so much. I'm so validated right now. You have no idea. David's like, don't tell people that Philippe's is your favorite restaurant.
Wait, he thinks it makes you low class?
I don't know.
Just because they have pickled eggs that at the counter?
I love pickled eggs.
I always get at least one pickled egg.
I always get a pickled egg.
It's not a question of if I'm getting a pickled egg. It's how many pickled eggs.
I get two French dips.
What's your order?
So I get one beef French dip with American double dipped, and then I get one lamb with Swiss double dipped, and then I get one egg, some sort of beverage. It could be a Diet Coke or whatever, and then a side of coleslaw. And that's my order. And people tell me I shouldn't be proud of that. And of course, I get like 15 little containers of mustard, and I put it in my mouth, and literally I go, oh, and it hurts so good.
The mustard at Philippe's, the inventor of the French dip, it is the most nuclear mustard I've ever had
and
in my
brilliant.
Life. If you get one thimbleful over your threshold, you are going, you're just moaning for 10 minutes.
It's like
and then
getting,
you go back to it.
It's like getting the horse there at Laurie's, which is also my favorite restaurant. It's like having...
It's like beef and heat.
I just like beef and spice. So it's like they give you two horseradish cream options, and they give you the horseradish cream that's cut with like butter and like sour cream, and then they give you horseradish cream. And if you put literally like a forkful in your mouth, you're done. You're out of commish. Yep. You can't eat anymore. So you have to be able to find the balance with mustard and horseradish and things like that. But that's the fun part about mustard. Something like ketchup, you know what you're getting.
It doesn't matter if it all tastes like ketchup.
It doesn't matter if it's Heinz. It doesn't matter if it's Hunt's. It doesn't matter if it's a little sachet that you find in your drawer next to the soy sauces and the chopsticks that you get from delivery sushi. It's always going to be the same ketchup. And maybe that's a good thing about ketchup.
Sure.
But for me, the spectrum with which mustard exists, you can get any kind of yellow mustard for your hot dogs. Controversial, I know. You could do your beautiful whole grain mustards with your vinaigrettes. You could do your spicy browns with your turkey sandwiches at your desk. Like, there's so much to have. And then, oh my gosh, if someone buys you a fancy mustard, like a tarragon.
Oh, what a treat. Or a
tarragon mustard.
Oh, you get the Williams-Sonoma mustards?
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
Or if you, the like,
oh my
beautiful
God.
Or like the red wine mustards. My gosh, just that little, a little bit of that on like a cheese
I find
plate.
They're like kind of never as good. It's always exciting to receive one and not as exciting to eat one.
I disagree.
Little cranberry mustard. I want to go back to what you were saying about Philippe's and Lowry's with the mustard and the horseradish.
Are they old people foods? Is that what you're trying to say?
They're old people foods, but I think of the way that it's like sophisticated. But you said something earlier that actually kind of got me to rethink certain things about when you dip something in ketchup, everything turns into ketchup. When you dip something in mustard, it actually accentuates it. And I was thinking about, would I ever take a like very good quality burger, something where I've been using my meat
Moose
grinder
Craft.
A lot at home?
Moose Craft barbecue.
I mean, like Moose Craft is great, but that's a very specific. It's like a smoked burger. But like even if I'm like grinding my own chuck and making my own little blend and like making a special burger at home, would I put a ketchup or a ketchup-based condiment on it? I don't think so. I'm more likely to put a mustard on it in the way that you go to Lowry's. I wouldn't dip their prime rib in ketchup.
Oh, no.
I would dip it in a horseradish or mustard because that they're actually using a good quality beef that you want to taste the character of. And I think mustard can accentuate that character.
Right.
Even Philippe's. So I know Philippe's invented the French dip because it tastes like they did. There's another place that I think has kind of been on the
Kohl's?
Brink of extinction, Kohl's, that claims to have invented the French dip.
Every 5 years they're closing.
It. Yeah, I know.
Years they're closing.
And then
they
turn into a new hipster bar and there's a speakeasy or whatever. But anyways, like you taste those side by side and you're like, I know who the invented this.
Yeah.
Right? Like, one of them tastes like processed trash. The other, I see an old lady in a hairnet taking a roast out of a pan and slicing. But, like, their beef and the aromatics are delicious.
So good.
And I get a plain beef dip wet and then no cheese. And
you
then
don't
my,
do cheese.
Check
okay.
this out, second sandwich, I go wild card. I'll go lamb and blue cheese. I'll get their ham dip with cheddar. I'll go crazy on a wild card,
okay.
but I always just get, my standard is just beef, bread, and then the juice.
Right.
And then that with the mustard, I would never put ketchup on that.
I would never in a million years.
Because mustard is something that accentuates and elevates, whereas you're right, ketchup flattens. Lake but in a way, that's great. I don't want to taste the quality of Jack in the Box's ground
well,
meat.
Well, maybe if you did,
you know?
Maybe if you did, it would allow you to make other choices.
Sure.
Right?
Sure. But I think there's something beautiful about that sameness of ketchup, that it is a known quantity, right? And that's the reason it's so nostalgic, especially something like Heinz,
mm-hmm.
who Heinz, I actually didn't realize was such a major player in modernizing and defining what ketchup mm-hmm. is and tastes mm-hmm. like.
Tell people what ketchup was.
So what ketchup was, I really grew to appreciate what ketchup was when I saw the term ketchup sambal. You know ketchup sambal?
Never heard of it.
I have a bottle in my fridge. It's K-A-C-A-P. Sambal, and it is a sweet chili sweet soy sauce from Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is pronounced ketchup? And they're like, yeah, ketchup. And I looked it up and didn't realize that ketchup, this ketchup is just a Southeast Asian native word. It likely comes from Hokkien, which is like a Fujianese dialect of Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
But like, that's just, it's that old. It is literally mm-hmm. thousands of years old and was basically their term for fish sauce that then existed for thousands of years. There's also a kind of alternate history because in Rome they're making garum, basically very identical, just fermented anchovies.
Right.
But anyways, Dutch East India Company, colonialism, doing a very abbreviated history here. They go find ketchup. They start, Europeans start writing about it in like the 15, 1600s.
Right.
It eventually gets to England and they develop a taste for ketchup. But then they start adding English products to it like mushrooms and walnuts.
I remember
Jane
mushrooms
Austen,
was one, yeah.
Jane Austen was a huge fan of walnut ketchup.
Mm.
Yeah, mushroom ketchup ends up coming to the colonies in America.
Mm-hmm.
Tomatoes were only in North America, I believe. Maybe South America as well. But tomatoes are native to North America, so Europe didn't get them till the 1600s, weren't really popular until the
mm-hmm.
1700s.
Mm-hmm.
But then in America, they started making tomato ketchup in the 1800s. It also became a weird health fad. So then,
really?
Yeah. I mean, still to this day, you can get lycopene supplements.
Oh, sure.
That's just tomato. That's just the red in tomato. So they were making tomato pills in the 1830s. They're making ketchup pills.
I thought the ketchup pills were for diarrhea.
I know the ketchup pills were giving people diarrhea.
Oh,
was it for diarrhea?
I thought it was for like GI discomfort.
Oh, it was. Yeah.
But it gave people diarrhea?
It gave people, yeah. Well, there was there's a hilarious like era in America. It's like during the snake oil era, but people are selling like fraudulent ketchup pills. But anyways, like it becomes a very American condiment.
Right.
And then in 1870s, I believe, is when Heinz starts manufacturing ketchup.
Mm.
But Heinz changed the game so much in terms of food safety standards in America. Everything changed with the formation of the FDA in the 1900s. Upton Sinclair's The Jungle really blew the whistle on everything. But even before then, like, there were people dying of malpractice in food manufacturing, which is, like, en masse, a relatively new industry in that sense. So people were dying, and then there were companies that were like, we should figure out how to get people to trust us more.
Right.
Heinz was one of the biggest. They opened up their pickle factory to the public and were like,
cool.
Come see how clean we are.
That's awesome.
And then they were some of the first to pioneer natural preservatives because back then, like, imagine in 1870 where, like, they didn't even know how diseases.
How magnets work.
Like, they just didn't know anything. They didn't know what a vitamin was. You know what I mean? In 1870s,
that
they
was
literally
an insane
didn't.
Clown posse.
What?
That was an ICP
that's
reference.
Good one. Juicy, shout out to, not Juicy J. Violent J is his name.
Juicy
he's not violent,
J
he's juicy.
Someone else.
But anyway, so like they pioneered the use of sugar and vinegar and salt as
right.
a natural preservative because people were adding so much sodium benzoate to things that it was just poisoning people. And so anyways, like they really, for so many different reasons, pioneered how ketchup is supposed to like taste and how shelf stable
mm-hmm,
it can be
mm-hmm.
for a product, tomatoes that is only grown 3 months out of the year, especially back then,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so to
it's
me, like
incredible.
The journey of ketchup, it shows our sort of ancient roots and how everybody wants, and it maintained the same, you know, it's got umami, it's got salt,
right.
it's got sugar, it's got acid,
right.
it's got all the things that it always had.
Mm-hmm.
It's morphed over time. And to me, it's such a beautiful story of the way that ideas transfuse throughout the globe.
Well, sure, you can say the same thing about mustard.
I know,
mustard,
you really can, though.
Been,
you really can.
Mustard has been around since 3000 BCE. Yeah. They mix it with grape must, and they called it mustum arden, which means burning, what was it, burning must, and then it became popular in medieval Egypt. Some people say that pharaohs were buried with mustard seeds as well. So it has a vast and complicated and beautiful history.
It's so nuts that they just come together on at Costco.
Oh, you mean like next to each other?
Yeah, like a hot dog. Like these two ancient condiments from that.
Ancient.
Ancient. That you could just go to Costco and while you're like waiting for your TV to get packed up, you go, oh, might as well get a hot dog. And you just squirt both of them on your meat tube.
Why do you think
it's
people.
Beautiful.
Why do you think people hate, especially Chicagoans? Sorry, people from Chicago. I love you guys so much. I love Chicago. If I could move anywhere, it would be Miami and then Chicago. Why are people so anti ketchup on hot dogs?
I think it's because people associate ketchup with. Childishness, like an unmanly and unadult, you know?
Unadult.
I think there's a level of manliness to the idea of being an adult who eats spicy mustard. And I think that's
but
something
not
that
mustard
I.
Mustard is spicy. It's spice, but not spicy.
You're right. But also, I do believe that women are more predisposed to like the spice from mustard and horseradish than men are, which is interesting.
Is that true?
Yeah. Whereas men
is
are.
Is it because we have boobies?
It could be because of the boobies. I don't know what the boobies are doing. What are they doing? The other day, I didn't know what boobs were. I had to Google it. I'm serious.
They're literally sacks of fat to feed.
But it's different kinds of fat, though. It's like, there's a different.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's to feed.
It's like a camel's hump. It's like made of different kinds of fat.
I don't know about that. I think it's just sacks of fat that have glands to feed your child. That's what boobs are.
What is a gland, though? I don't know.
A gland?
Can you describe what a gland is?
A gland is part of the endocrine system.
Sure, but like, what is it? It's made of meat.
I mean,
made of meat or fat?
I don't know. I think it's made out of tissue. I think it's made out of tissue.
Okay, so sweetbreads.
Those are.
It's a gland,
those,
right?
Those are, I believe, are those thyroid glands?
I think it's thymus.
Thymus.
Some people refer to the pancreas as sweetbreads too, but.
That's
I think it's
false.
The thymus gland.
I think they do that in Brazil.
Yeah, it's like a weird, it's like a regional
it's
thing.
Like a, yeah.
It's a, yeah. But like, yeah, so it's like sweetbreads.
There's no.
I shouldn't admit that I had to Google what boobs are.
Did you do that on the work?
I didn't. It wasn't images. It was all results.
It was a work laptop.
What is boobs? What is boob science educational
question? Boobs.com. Josh went on boobs.com.
I went to boobs.edu because I thought it would be educational. And it was.
But
I don't think the boobs have anything to do with women preferring heavy mustard spice.
Oh, I see. It just so happens.
I think it's coincidence.
It just so happens.
They're comorbidities to each other.
But honestly, I'll say this. I'm reaching for ketchup and mustard a lot of the time.
If you,
you know what I mean, Kelly B?
Wow, women really can't have it all.
I'm reaching for both. You can work and be a mom. You can have ketchup and mustard.
This feels personal.
You can
now.
Do it all.
What if you were to like really give up either for the rest of your life? Mm. How would it affect you personally?
Well, me.
And I would say that counts as ketchup as an ingredient, which I think would preclude most barbecue sauces. A lot of barbecue sauces are using ketchup as a base.
One thing about me, I don't reach for barbecue sauce
like
that.
I'm eating barbecue sauce at least once, twice a week.
I
love making barbecue chicken with
never make barbecue
roasted sweet potato fries and coleslaw.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like a standard
I never,
meal.
Oh, my God. I think I have maybe made a barbecue chicken or barbecue adjacent food in my house married to my husband maybe twice. I'm not reaching for it.
I feel like David's a guy who likes barbecue. I feel like he would appreciate it if you made more.
You can take him.
You can come over for barbecue chicken.
You can come over here.
I really do it all. I put wood chips in a foil bag, put
oh
it on the grill,
gosh.
Kind of get a little smoke on
you know
it.
What?
It's nice.
Just have him come over after he's studying. Just have him come over. But no, I never make barbecue at home. I do have ketchup a lot, like as an option. I like ketchup with my eggs.
Same.
So I do find myself reaching for ketchup. I do find myself using mustard though a lot. Again,
in
I
what?
Use it. Salad dressing. Sometimes
that's the main
I use it,
thing for me, but I could kill it for my salad dressing.
I use it as a marinade for my food sometimes. I add a in there.
Yeah.
I use it. I'm laughing because I'm trying to think of all the things that I use it for. But I do use it, like, again, on the side of like a little girl dinner, like with a little cheese and a little meat. I just do a little squirt of mustard. It's great. You're
I might use
a
it
lot.
Tonight. Because I'm thinking I blink a lot when I think very deeply because I think I'm accessing my mind movies. I'm trying to think what I use mustard for. Like, what I might be using. I drink a lot of coffee in LaCroix. I might use mustard tonight. Yeah, it was a coffee. It was bad. It was one of the new flavors.
Ugh, sorry.
I might use it tonight. Check this out.
What's up?
You ever make endive, what's it called? Endive gratiné?
Do you mean gratin
stuff? Oh, gratin endives? I inexplicably have endives. Check this out. They
no,
were
no,
out.
Don't do that. Don't make it. Don't cook the endives. What are you?
I'm cooking endives.
Don't cook the endives.
I'm wrapping the endives in ham.
Don't cook
Check this
the
out.
Endives.
I'm wrapping the endives in ham. I'm searing them. I think I'm going to cut the endives in half long ways. Wrap it in a single piece of, check this out, prosciutto from Japan. Julie and I have already eaten the prosciutto from Japan plain. Mm-hmm. So Julie, my wife went to Japan and she met a bunch of really cool like farmers and food producers. Mm-hmm. And some guy just like, I think he's just a hobbyist and makes prosciutto.
How cool.
Out of Japanese pigs and just kind of like gave some to her. And so we already ate one like normal style, just, you know, eating prosciutto with bread, whatever. And so now we have kind of like the dregs of another pack and I'm like, let's mess around with it.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to wrap half cut endives in that, sear it off. And then I'm going to make like a Dijon spiced bechamel.
Mm.
And then pour that over and then gratiné it.
I'll say this much. Sometimes on packaging of mustard and ketchup, it says fancy. But you know what? It's not what it's all about. It's just about the way it tastes, man.
Was that a prepared statement? Was that what the hell are we talking about?
Please don't cook your endives. I don't think there's a winner, clear winner here. I think we can both coexist and find peace. Within one another and each other.
Wow. Oh my gosh, she's running. All right, Nicole, we've heard what you and I had to say. We mostly talked about French dip sandwiches.
How can you not?
It's on you with another writer, the Reddit out there universe. Time for the segment we call Opinions Are Like Casseroles. All right, headphones. That's how we hear the opinions.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Me too. We're already wearing so many accoutrements.
It's just one sheet. It's a dress.
Josh.
That's perfect.
It's Marlon. I hope you're doing well, bud. All right. I hope that this is not too hot of a take.
What if it was?
No one gets to tell me what I can and cannot put ketchup on.
Yeah!
There is that sleep spot up in like upstate New York where they don't even let, it's a burger joint, they don't even let you bring in ketchup. Screw that. That's crazy. And I'm sorry, I can put ketchup on a friggin' Chicago dog if I want
to.
Don't
tread on me!
That is my take.
I would
Hopefully
try
that's
that.
Not too hot. Love you guys. Peace. See you around.
Peace.
Love you too, man. This is such a deceptively political debate, right? This is like when people are like, "I am American. I have free speech," and it's like free speech doesn't protect you from consequences. It protects you from like consequences from the government and employer, but not from people telling you you're an asshole, right? I agree that you should be allowed to put ketchup on whatever you want. You get takeout from. We have. Our own, you talked about that burger place in upstate New York. I don't know if he's talking about like Louis Lunch in like Connecticut or whatever.
We have that here.
We have that here. Father's office.
Anti-ketchup place.
Anti-ketchup place. They don't really bake it. But if I get if I go into this restaurant, I'm not bringing my own ketchup. They would have a right to say, hey, don't bring outside food into a restaurant, you jackass. And they would have a right to ask me to leave. 100%. You can't just do that. It could even be a cross-contamination issue. You know what I mean? But I get that to go. I'm eating in the parking lot. I can put ketchup on it. I think that's your right. But it is also their right. And I think it's kind of cool when restaurants have standards like that.
Yeah, but also there's no problem with like exhibiting restraint. Like,
yeah,
how about you try it without ketchup first?
Yeah,
and see how you like it, and then smother it in your sugary, vinegary, tomatoey mess.
For instance, I love ketchup on a hot dog.
I also love ketchup on a hot dog.
I don't know if I would love ketchup on a Chicago dog. One, a Chicago dog is already sort of walking line between something I like and don't like.
It's through the garden. Walk it through the garden.
There's already just so much vinegar and sweet from the relish. There's already so much cold on it, frankly.
I love to load on my hot dogs. I've always been a hot dog loader.
Really?
I love loading hot dogs up, but not my burgers.
Okay, interesting.
I could put like 12 things on a hot dog and have a good time.
I'm like the opposite.
Wow.
I think for something about a hot dog, I love a clean tube-shaped food.
Totally different. Load it on top of one another like
if you can't
that.
Get all the bites, all the components of a hot dog in one bite, mm-hmm. I kind of dislike it.
Oh my gosh, no. It's always an adventure with a hot dog.
You got to kind of eat around it. I love to be able to shove the whole thing in my mouth. I'm like, ah.
See, I'm like that with a burger. I'm a burger, like, purist.
Yeah, funny.
So I don't love to load it up with, like, sauces and, like vegetables. Yeah. Like, if I had meat, cheese, bun, and, like, maybe a pickle, I'm good.
I think I like what Marlon's saying, though, about not extrapolating necessarily people's wants into judgments about their character.
Okay, that's
you
fair.
Know?
That's
you
fair.
Know? Let them put ketchup. Let them eat ketchup. That's what I say.
Let them eat ketchup. Apparently, that was taken out of context when Marie Antoinette said that.
Yeah, I know there's a weird, funky history around that. She never actually
said that. Did you ever watch the Marie Antoinette movie that Sofia Coppola made?
Yeah, I love that movie.
That was like my comfort movie for like
huge crush on
years.
Kirsten Dunst, man.
Really?
Huge.
She's not my
Kirsten
type.
Kirsten Dunst. Who is your type?
I don't know.
Okay.
Just not Chris.
Not her. Wow. Okay.
Monica Bellucci is the most beautiful woman on planet Earth.
Gotcha.
In my opinion.
Gotcha.
Next question.
Right, and I love the fact that she's like, anyways.
Next question, please.
Okay. My food hot take is that ketchup doesn't belong in anything except a poor man's recipe.
Can you pause? This man has the most gorgeous voice I've ever heard. I'm sorry for making fun of your laugh. Your voice is beautiful. You should go into voiceovers. Okay, continue.
It has ketchup in it. Immediately, double. Turn it off. Throw it away. Get it out of here. That's my hot take. Love the show. Holla at you.
I love your voice. Can you sing You'll Never Find Another Love Like Mine by Lou Rawls? Great song. I want to hear him sing it.
I don't know if I agree with this take. We can all agree that what a lovely, mellifluous, deep voice that was.
It was beautiful.
I don't know if I agree that ketchup doesn't belong in anything except for a poor man's recipe. You know what I mean? I understand the fact that if you
are... Like what, a sloppy Joe?
Like a sloppy Joe? That's a sloppy Joe is a great example of where ketchup does work in the context of like a scrap poverty food.
I love sloppy Joes.
Sloppy Joe, you can take the crappiest possible ground meat scraps and you're mixing it with like onions and whatever veg
scrap. If you have peppers.
Whatever else you can throw in there. I'd put some cabbage in a sloppy Joe. Check this out. I love beefing up the volume of my food with various forms of cabbage.
I would never put cabbage in a sloppy Joe because I love myself. I put coleslaw on top of it and make a little sandwich.
Nice. Well, but I, you know, you take ketchup.
Make a little sandwich.
Cabbage. You know, I take cabbage and I'll saute it. I'll
Do you
mix
ever
it
put
rice,
barbecue sauce cabbage. In your sloppy Joes?
Barbecue sauce is just ketchup.
It's part of.
That's the problem of what we're talking about, though. Barbecue sauce is a flavored ketchup.
Huh?
Not all barbecue sauce.
It's a component of...
Barbecue sauce. It's tough to even talk about barbecue sauce.
There's also mustard and barbecue sauce.
It's tough to talk about barbecue sauce as a monolith because you got so many different
kinds
of barbecue sauce.
I agree.
Right, but
barbecue
if we're talking about like KC Masterpiece or like a Stubbs or a Sweet Baby
were
Ray's.
Were you a KC Masterpiece house?
Actually, never were, despite the fact that we grew
That's,
up in
You
Kansas
always
City.
Reference KC Masterpiece.
To me,
though.
KC Masterpiece was the store brand, like the name brand of barbecue
How
sauce.
How interesting. No.
We were when it was on sale, we were a Bullseye family.
Never had Bullseye.
And I'll tell you what, Bullseye was always on sale.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it had the most liquid smoke in it.
Too much, almost.
And it was so good.
Almost too much, yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, that style of American barbecue sauce, it's ketchup plus more vinegar, sugar, and spice. But there's already vinegar, sugar, and spice in ketchup. It's kind of just a little bit of, like, a doctored ketchup.
You ever make homemade ketchup?
Yeah, it kind of
Disgusting.
Sucks.
You ever make homemade mustard? Kind of sucks.
Sucks. They do a good job in the factories.
They do good job in
you
the
know what I
good
mean?
Job factories.
Pretty good job. But yeah, Sloppy Joe's a great example of how ketchup really can. Just that idea of like so much vinegar and sugar
covers a world of hurt.
Tomato can cover a world of hurt. So I do think that there's a little bit of merit in what you're saying, though. Do you put ketchup in a shepherd's pie?
I wouldn't do that. You would, though. I'd put mustard in it.
I think I put both last time I made it. But that was a weird thing where I instinctively put – what's actually crazy is I didn't put ketchup in it. I didn't tell the story of why Julia hates ketchup.
Tell me.
She was doing – she was a theater kid, right, growing up, and they did a performance of – God, is there a – Logan, were you a theater kid?
No.
Oh, you're a jock. Yeah, we're jocks. Yeah. You're the biggest theater kid here. There's like, there's a thing. Is there a play that's commonly done by children where there's a school shooting?
I don't know. That's not familiar to me.
Can you Google that? Is it like, or Bang Bang Your Dad or something? Kiss, not Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. What's that? I don't know, but anyways, she had to play dead and to feign blood on the children, they use ketchup.
Uh-huh.
So she was like for hours just sort of covered in ketchup, like smelling it. And I actually was listening to
Caller.
I think I was listening to Stuff You Should Know. You want me to call Julia live on the podcast?
Why not? You got anything else going on? See if she'll pick up on you. Yeah. I mean, why not get it from the source, right?
We can just keep going.
Okay, so the reason why she hates ketchup is because she was smothered
in it as a child.
Ugh, tough.
Okay, so hot take. Watermelon with mustard, insanely good. And I feel like nobody talks about it enough.
Do you remember this?
Yellow mustard, really ripe watermelon. It's amazing. And I get called crazy for eating it.
So this was...
You don't deserve to be called that.
This was a big trend on TikTok where people were eating watermelon and mustard.
What was the big trend? You know what I mean?
It was a trend.
Because we just saw a couple videos. We called it a trend. What are we doing?
It would get like millions and millions and millions of views.
Oh, man.
I think that constitutes a trend. It's like Dalgona coffee was a trend. So we did our own take on that, where Josh ate honeydew and mayonnaise, and to this day,
yeah.
The thought of it makes me retch. It was such fun times. We honestly had so much fun back then.
We had a lot of fun.
It was during the panini, and you did honeydew?
Oh, yeah.
And
what we
helmets.
Did, there was one, there's so many established visual languages now on TikTok, right? Come with me, like, you know what that cadence is, right? It's a restaurant review, right?
Yes, yes.
That's the cadence of a restaurant review. And so back then, people were sort of discovering this sort of this visual language of what videos were. And this person made this video eating watermelon and mustard where they had these just insane, gigantic reactions where they would bite and they would go, and like their eyes would roll back into the back of their head, and you know,
it's
all this.
Very odd.
And so I did a faithful shot for shot of the original watermelon mustard video, but with honeydew and mayonnaise.
Go watch
it. Bad.
It is
was
it
bad.
Still, you think it's still on TikTok?
Surely. Do you remember, you get a hot dog there, buddy? Do you remember that video where I was
on all fours?
Shirtless on all fours with a hot dog in my mouth?
I didn't pitch it.
The things we all did. Trying to figure out what our short form strategy was. And now it's just cut down whatever we're doing.
Have you tried watermelon and mustard before?
Yeah.
I haven't.
It's fine. It's okay. Fine. It's kind of aggressive. I think just watermelon and salt is probably the best combination.
I like watermelon and salt.
Even like tahini, I think watermelon's kind of a deceptively very delicate flavor.
I love watermelon and tahini.
I love tahini on pineapple.
That might be my dream dessert, is watermelon and tahini, or like some sort of like paletta version of that.
I love like the mango and the pineapple carry the tahini better than watermelon.
That's okay. You can be wrong. I don't mind.
Yeah, but I love like a mango nayada. A mango nayada.
Do you mean a mango nada?
Mango nayada.
I've never heard it called mango nayada, even though the
What are you calling it?
Manganata.
Manganata. Gave me the manganata. The Joseph manganata.
No, mango. No, mangoniada. Wait, what do I say? What?
But like mangoes, like mango. Mangoniada.
Mangoniada is what I say. I don't know. I haven't said it in so long. It's just mango and chamoy.
Is it just mangonada? Is it not?
I think it's mangonadas.
Maybe it's mangonada.
I don't know.
Anyways, delightful.
Anything else, Logan?
One more?
You know what? I'm okay.
Okay. What? Come on, one more.
No, Josh. Hey. We've hung out too much today already.
Whoa.
We have to hang out again.
Come on.
I'm okay.
All right.
I don't want to do it anymore.
Nicole doesn't want to talk anymore.
Okay, fine. We'll do one more. No. That's called.
All
right.
That's
called baiting, right? Is that what I just did?
Huh?
Baiting. Like, no. Like, okay.
I think it's great to eat potato chips with ketchup.
Yeah.
And if you think that's weird, then I would ask you to define exactly what width of French fry.
Hell yes.
Is too thin to dip in ketchup. Like, where is the cutoff point if you think that you shouldn't dip chips and ketchup, then clearly there is some metric by which you are saying, well, at that point, the potato is too thin to be dipped in ketchup.
Why do none of these opinions talk about mustard? It's all ketchup all the time. Only one mustard?
I understand. Literally, the last opinion was about mustard.
But that was the only one about mustard.
I really like the cut of this person's jib. I like their jib, and I like the way that it's cut. No, and I'll tell you exactly why. They have a very dialectical view of the condiment to food relationship. Because what they've done is that they've established the fact that fried potatoes and ketchup are a great combination that people the world over seem to love.
Right.
However, potato chips, which are just fried potatoes, dipping in ketchup is often seen as anathema to polite society.
Stop using big, annoying words.
Je refuse. Anyways, so what they've said is, for people that would say that potato chips dipped in ketchup is inappropriate, they want to know the exact width of potato that deems them then appropriate to dip into ketchup. But I will offer you a rebuttal. I think we could find that. Because you've engaged in what I believe is called reductio ad absurdum. Right? Check this out, where the idea is to try and like bring someone's point to the level of absurdity to illustrate why it's false. But I would argue that the American cut of French fry is thicker than, say, a shoestring that you would find often in France at, say, like a bistro or something, where ketchup is not the dominant sauce to dip it in. So I would argue that effectively, the thicker the fry up to a point does increase its relational benefit to ketchup. Whereas the thinner the fry, I think, sort of decreases it. Ergo, the closer you get to potato chip hood, the less likely it is to be dipped in ketchup, which means that doesn't mean that it's necessarily wrong to do it, but there is less historical precedent for a thin potato. And I would argue that you get up to a certain thickness too. It's sort of normal distribution along a bell curve of potato thickness in relation to ketchup dippability.
What he said.
On that note, I dip toast in ketchup, man. That's the thing that I do.
I dip toast in ketchup.
I dip toast in ketchup. It's a jam. Love, it's a lovely jam.
I also love potato chips and ketchup. I was never an onion dip home. That's something that was never that never registered in my home, but I bought it recently. Oh my god, onion dip!
It's a little
with
too,
ruffles.
It's a little too salty for me.
Oh,
it's like because I grew up on it. It's a little too chemically for me.
Oh my god.
I made my own onion dip recently.
Oh well, that's different.
Fudge, dude.
That's different.
Oh my god, five different caramelized alliums.
Oh my god,
Lebna.
I've done that before. But I use creme fraiche.
Ah, okay.
It was really good.
I split Lebna and sour cream, I think, and a little bit of mayonnaise in there, dude. Yeah. Nutso stuff. I did like a little like beef stock too.
Oh.
I, like, put some, like, beef bouillon in the caramelized alliums to sort of, like, get that French
nuts,
onion.
Nuts.
And that kind of gave you that chemical
taste. Sounds delicious.
Anyways, on that note, thanks so much for stopping by Hot Dog and the Sandwich. We got new episodes out every Wednesday on its own YouTube channel. That's called A Hot Dog is a Sandwich. Also, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, don't forget to subscribe. If you want to be featured on Opinions Like Casseroles, hit us up at 833-DOGPOD1.
And if you like watching us... If you like watching us, then go ahead and you can find our addresses if you're really savvy.
Don't
you can watch
find
us through
address.
Our keyholes.
No.
You can
no,
flip
no.
them inside out. No, we have
flip
a YouTube channel.
Keyholes inside out?
I think someone did that to spy on a celebrity a while ago. Anyways, kind of what room they were staying in, flip the keyhole. Super gross. YouTube. What I was saying is subscribe to our YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen. See y'all next time.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
No, I already said that. And then now this one is where I say if you like to see us do other things, we also have a YouTube channel called Mythical Kitchen.
Well, people aren't going to subscribe to
none of this works. None of this works. No. Like, this has been proven. I'm serious. This has been proven.
Cut
the whole
tape.
End card.
Cut his mic.
Notice YouTubers stop saying like, comment, subscribe. No one says that anymore because it doesn't matter. It's just YouTube either feeds you the slop or it doesn't.